It's the first warm day of summer, and we've decided to have a picnic in the park. You brought food and utensils. I was responsible for the non-food picnic necessities. Something to sit on, games, and music. Once we get to the park, we find a spot under a tree, far enough away from the playground so that we can't hear the children playing, but still with a good view of the lake. We lay out the picnic blanket, actually an old jumbo-sized beach towel that my parents had taken from a cruise several years back and given to me, and arrange our things. Music plays through Bluetooth speakers while we battle through a few rounds of backgammon. You win, 3-2, and then dive into the food you brought. Grocery store fried chicken, potato salad, and cupcakes for dessert. We wash our meal down with rosé from single-serve aluminum cans. After we eat, we get settled on the beach towel. I notice you balling up your sweatshirt into a makeshift pillow. Half mockingly, I tell you that you should be grateful that I packed the sweatshirt, even though you had rejected my recommendation to bring one yourself, claiming that in the summer, sweatshirts are for the weak. After a few more adjustments, you lie on your back, your head slightly raised on the sweatshirt, satisfied. We lapse into a comfortable silence, save for the music coming from the speakers and the distant shouts of children playing on the slides. You're reading the latest New York Times bestseller that you haven't quite finished, while simultaneously trying to use the book to block out the sun. I'm sitting cross-legged, perpendicular to you, with a magazine in my lap. I've always thought that the sign of a great partner is not whether that person is someone that you could spend all night talking to, but whether you can spend an extended amount of time with someone not feeling the need to constantly be talking to each other. I love how you and I do not have to talk while watching a movie or TV show. How we can ride in a car for an hour and, apart from asking about the temperature in the car or about what to listen to music or a podcast, we hardly say anything. Neither of us feels insecure when the other is immersed in their own thoughts or absorbed by their own activity. Silence really needs to be filled between us. At one point, I realize that it's been a while since I've seen or heard you turning the pages of your book. I lift up my head to see what you were up to. You had fallen asleep, your book dropping out of your hands and resting on your chest, rising and falling in time with your breathing. I smile at the image your body makes on the blanket. At that moment, feeling both oddly protective of you, while at the same time experiencing a surge of desire as I take in your vulnerability. You generally do not like being the subject of any kind of physical admiration. When you catch me looking at your reflection in the bathroom mirror after you've showered, you quickly make a joke and throw your towel at me, and you refuse to pose for longer than a few seconds when someone, even me, is trying to take your picture. When you're sleeping is one of the few times that I can visually appreciate you without being interfered with or causing you embarrassment. And now that I have the upper hand in this moment, I take the opportunity to do so. The sunlight filtering through the tree has cast geometric shadows on your face, giving you an uncharacteristically harsh demeanor. A small gnat dances across your cheek. I'm tempted to lightly blow it away, but I worry that it would wake you, so I continue to let it tease your skin. My eyes move to your mouth. When I've had the chance to observe you in your sleep in the past, I've noticed that your lips at times purse almost imperceptibly, as if offering or inviting a kiss. They are extending that invitation again now. I notice a touch of chocolate in the crease of your mouth, residue from the cupcakes eaten earlier. I'll have to remind you to wipe your mouth when you wake up. Or maybe, after I've let you sleep a little while longer, I'll accept your mouth's proposition and give you a wake-up kiss. Softly at first, but then more insistently, as the remnants of the frosting dissolve in my mouth. In your sleep, Your arms had fallen against your sides. I can see the tiny goosebumps that had risen on your skin. On your right forearm, an ant is navigating its way over the ridges and into the crook of your elbow. Your bicep slightly twitches, as if you are trying to knock the insect off its path. Undeterred, the ant continues on its way and quickly disappears in the darkness underneath your arm. My gaze goes in the opposite direction, scanning down your forearm, past your wrist, to your hand. The broadness of your palm belies your hand's dexterity. For someone who does not indulge in much pampering, your nails are neatly trimmed, mostly, although I cannot see it due to the position of your hand. I think about the raised scar on your index finger, the result of a glass broken during dishwashing, and reminisce about how its roughness feels when you brush your finger over my lips. I raise my own finger to my lips, as if to conjure up the sensation again. My eyes move over to your torso. The hem of your t-shirt has ridden up so that I can see a swath of your exposed stomach and the waistband of your jeans. For a moment, I consider giving you a different sort of wake-up than the kiss that had I considered earlier. And I look around to see how exposed we are to spectators. We're some distance from the walking path, and the nearest people are 50 to 100 yards, but I decide not to chance it. There will be time to make good on these desires when we get back home. Or at least back to our car, when we can then drive somewhere more secluded. The loose-fitting jeans that you're wearing camouflage the muscular leanness of your legs, which are bent in the shape of a loose number 4. Between the warmth of the sun and the wine from lunch, I've slipped into an almost tranquilizing drowsiness, and I fight the urge to curl up in between your legs, rest my head on your thigh, and join you in an afternoon nap. But that longing will have to wait as I continue my visual appraisal. My last stop is your feet. You always say that the least favorite part of your, or anyone's, body is the feet. Feet are purely functional, you say, and lack any aesthetic or pleasure-giving qualities. Despite that, you're often quick to accept an offer of a foot rub while relaxing on the couch or taking a hot bath. You'd taken off your shoes and socks when we sat down, and I could see where the elastic of your socks has left marks on the top of your feet and up your ankles. I want to trace my fingertips over those shallow indentations, and then run my hands inside your jeans and up your calves. But a sharp shriek from the direction of the playground disrupts my daydreaming. Without realizing it, I had been lightly holding my breath. I softly exhale as I turn my head toward the children in the distance, the suspected source of the noise. I can keep pretending to be asleep if you want to do more than just look, you say. I turn my head and give you an enticing smile.